Hi, everyone. I'm Josh Nason, WrestlingObserver.com here, back with an edition of JNPO Classic, my somewhat weekly look back at the WJAM MMA show archives. It's a show I did back on ESPN New Hampshire for, 2011-2012. So we're going through week by week, taking a look at some of this stuff, and we continue our run through September 2011 with the September 8th edition of the show, a show that was historical for us because we had no guests for the very first time. We couldn't book anyone. It was coming off of Labor Day weekend. It was kind of tough to get people. And so we didn't have any guests. But there was a lot of news to talk about. And this show really should be entitled The Strange Story of Nick Diaz and UFC 137. So this was the week that Nick Diaz decided to no-show a press conference with his fight with George St. Pierre, which was happening at that point in Las Vegas that fall. The fight got scrapped. And we talked about this whole thing. If you remember this, and this is one of those things, there's so much stuff that happens, you kind of forget about these weird stories. This is the one where Nick Diaz missed three flights and Cesar Gracie went to go, his coach or manager went to go check on him, and Diaz went out the back door and like ran away. And so there's this whole strange circumstances of events. Remember, Dana was at the press conference with GSP, no Diaz, and they decided at that point they announced GSP versus Carlos Condit instead, made for UFC 137 in October, not November. No, October was when the fight was going to happen. So this was a completely wild, batshit crazy week with all this stuff, and this was amazing to listen back to. Just remembering all this stuff and how absolutely crazy this whole situation was. So if you remember last week's show, speculation was running wild that Brock Lesnar was going to retire. However, this week it was announced that he was going to face Alistair Overeem at the UFC's December show, their New Year's Eve show, so to speak, New Year's Eve weekend show. So we talked a little bit about that. The first UFC show was on Fox that was set. And there was a lot of question about if we would see Guida versus Henderson on that very show. So we talked about that, kind of the announcement last week about the main event and, having finally Dos Anjos Velasquez being moved up from the pay-per-view. And also the UFC announced a return to Japan. So this is a very news-heavy edition of the show. All kinds of stuff to talk about. Again, the craziest story, this Nick Diaz stuff. If for some reason you're relatively new to the sport or you may not have been paying attention much back then, listen to this story about how everything happened, then go back and do some more research. Just an absolutely wild week in the sport, and I hope you enjoy this. The September 8th, 2011 edition of the WJAM MMA show featuring yours truly, PJ Hewitt, and a very weird story featuring Nick Diaz. Enjoy. A bizarre set of circumstances leads to a major opportunity for a former MMA show guest. The biggest draw in the business gets his next fight made. We preview two big events this Saturday. It's Thursday, September 8th, and the WJAM MMA show is live. Hey, everyone. Josh Nason, the inimitable PJ Hewitt, behind the thing with a bunch of knobs on it, the board, if you will. And here with you on Thursday. What's happening, PJ? What's going on?
Good evening, Josh. I'm doing quite well. I am taking a page out of your book this evening, of your book from last week.
The handsome book.
Yes. Not only that, but last week you were pulling a little bit of double duty. Not only were you hosting the WGAM MMA show, but you're dipping into your fantasy football draft.
Yes.
And I will be doing the same thing tonight.
Yes.
If I sound a little distracted tonight, I might be up.
As I approach the studios here in Nashua, New Hampshire, the WGAM downtown studios, I found the door was locked, and as I was about to throw a brick through the door, because I wanted to get on air for you folks, I would do that. I would smash property to get on air.
PJ, I'm glad you didn't.
A young fellow cheered from across the street and yelled, "Hey!" And that was PJ, and PJ unlocked the door, and he said a lot of my fantasy football league is actually in the bar across the street. So
I meant fantasy football. I said team originally.
Yeah.
I meant league.
And I thought some of the NFL players are actually here in Nashua. So
No, Matt Schaub for the Houston Texans, not in Nashua tonight.
Very good. So yeah, I pulled PJ out of a bar to do the show tonight. So that is good.
Surprisingly enough.
So he is drunk and he is going to be distracted. So this is going to be a great show. And this is a historic show, PJ. You want to know why?
I believe I know why.
Is because we, for the first time in the illustrious, what's God, 4 months? How long have we been doing this? Since April?
Yeah, something like that.
In the illustrious 28-year show history of the MMA show, we have zero guests tonight. Zero guests. And I think it was just because it was a short week, and I don't know. It just
the week after Labor Day, yeah.
It just didn't come together. But as I was telling PJ before we came on, if there was going to be a week in which there would have no guests, we have so much stuff to talk about.
One or two things happened this week that made it headline news for mixed martial arts.
Yep. So let's go through, well, let's go through the past 7 days, but we'll kind of go with the biggest news first, and that is that Nick Diaz is no longer going to be fighting in what was arguably going to be one of the biggest fights of the year. Nick Diaz supposed to be facing welterweight champion George St. Pierre at UFC 137 in October. Champion versus champion. He is the, I guess you could call him former Strikeforce champion now.
He did relinquish the title, yep. Technically, so he's no longer the champion, but was the last Strikeforce welterweight champion.
Yep, and they were billing as champion versus champion in the actual ad, so for whatever that's worth. So the expectation was he was going to fight GSP in October. So what happens is on Monday, or Tuesday rather, Diaz would head to, supposed to go to Toronto with GSP to start doing press for the event. Toronto obviously being the mecca of MMA, especially for pay-per-view buy rates, and they want to start to get some media buzz there. So it's just, it's part of the deal. And then they were going to do a press conference in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Now you can hear, but the words I'm using is that this obviously didn't happen. Diaz did not show up in Toronto. And GSP was a little bit irritated by that because, again, he's taking time out of his training.
And that was his big excuse. I'm taking time from my training to be here. He can do the same.
Right. And he actually flew from New York to go see that, to go do the training, rather. And so Diaz didn't show up, and no one seemed to be really surprised, but they put calls out, and Diaz's agent, Cesar Gracie, said he'll be there on Wednesday. You know, kind of like old habits die hard, I believe he said.
Yeah.
So flash forward to Wednesday, I actually wrote a column for Bloody Elbow saying how important a day Wednesday was.
I read your article before the press conference, too, so that was a very nice setup for...
Oh, good, good, good. You can find it on Bloody Elbow. Search for Josh Nason. You can see it on there.
So set it up beautifully for...
So the title of it is Nick Diaz's Very Important Wednesday Appointment or something along those lines. So the fact that, you know, Diaz has had a history of skipping press conferences, not doing call-ins, just does not like to do press, doesn't like to talk... He likes to fight, but he doesn't like to do anything else. But not just like short answers, just doesn't like doing it, period, as in not showing up. So on Wednesday, everyone's like, okay, he's going to be there Wednesday. And so what happens? So 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, UFC goes on with their press conference, and you know, I'm watching it, and all of a sudden Dana White shows up, as you'd expect, and he starts going through... I think he started out with saying like on Tuesday and starts almost like diagramming stuff out. And that's, I'm like, okay, something is up. Cause he wouldn't go through that much. He wouldn't start going into this much detail talking about how Diaz, I guess, missed 3 flights on Tuesday. How he, you know, they had to rebook flights and do all this stuff. And Diaz just didn't show up. How, Diaz was not there on Wednesday and St. Pierre was there. No one could locate Diaz, not even his manager. And he wouldn't return Dana's calls. He disappeared off the face of the earth. He could have been beamed up by aliens. He disappeared. So Dana, as he is prone to do, makes decisions, and he doesn't like to be disrespected. And I think that's probably pretty fair to say that if a fighter in your main event that you've given an opportunity to, especially someone that's complained about not making money in the past, and you have this opportunity, he gave you this chance and you're not calling him back, not showing up for stuff. And it cost, I think he said that the flights all together with all the cancel, the cost like $15,000 because of just the fees and all this stuff. So he, and he is giving Diaz an opportunity, as we found out later, probably about $2 million for this fight he was going to make. $2 million for one fight.
It's a nice purse.
More than he's ever made in his career. He's made like, you know, almost like 150, 175, things like that. $2 million, right? So kind of like life-changing money, as Dana would say. So he said, well, he explained the situation, very including flights, like actual flight detail. And he's like, blah, 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 told a story, you know, explained why he liked Nick Diaz. But again, kind of reiterated that when Nick Diaz got signed, the whole thing is about playing the game. So then Dana points up to the screen and says, I want to show you guys a little video clip. And it was a redone clip saying GSP, blah, blah, welterweight champion, will now face Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit, a former WGAM MMA show guest. And now it will be GSP and Carlos Condit for the UFC welterweight championship at UFC 137 in October.
And it's a huge opportunity for Carlos Condit. Apparently, when Dana White gave him the call, Condit broke down and said, I have to call you back in 15 minutes because he was so emotional that he couldn't speak because he was so happy that he was given this opportunity. Now, Nick Diaz is a complete idiot for doing this. And you said that, you know, Dana White does not like to be disrespected in that way, given so many opportunities. And then he posted, Nick Diaz did, a response video on his way back up to his base of operations in California, up from, I think he said, San Francisco, where he was trying to catch a flight, or trying to catch several flights, I guess.
Yep.
And made mention of the fact that the UFC doesn't want him to win.
Yeah,
which is, I would say, is about half right. I think they had no problem if he would have won before, you know, say a week ago. But if you're going to miss media appearances, if you're going to miss flights that the UFC is booking for you, if you're just going to not have your phone on and not be able to be reached, which Dana White really, really hates, if he can't get a hold of somebody, then yeah, they don't want you to win, at least not a title. They don't want you to win that title. You have to show that you want it, that you want to earn it. And I think that this fight was given to him as the Strikeforce welterweight champion. And I think, and you mentioned earlier that Dana White says, yeah, I mean, you don't want this enough. Otherwise you would have been here.
Yeah. And did you actually see the whole press conference?
No, I only saw bits and pieces of it, so I did not see the whole thing.
It's well worth seeing. If you have some time, just listen to it at work. If you haven't heard it yet, it's on UFC.com and also some other places too. But it's interesting, kind of, you know, some of the stuff that you were saying in that Diaz, you know, he posted a video. It's a 2.5 minute video you can find all over the place. Posted on YouTube that he apparently went to the airport. Like he was, I heard today from another one of the shows I was listening to that he went from the airport to, you know, from Stockton to San Francisco, I think it was, the where he was going to fly out of, which is like a 45 minute drive or an hour, something like that. So it's not like it was like from here to Manchester's airport, right? He actually made the effort. So now the question, so Diaz got pulled from the fight. He has not yet been cut from the UFC. A lot of people assume that will be the case because, again, you disrespect your boss. You blew an opportunity. And so Diaz has had a very strange career in that he's very talented. He was in the UFC for a long run, like a lot of fights, back when he was a lot younger. And he actually left the organization after a win because he was signing with a fledgling group called Gracie Fighting Championships at the time. And they were going to, this was again before the UFC boom and all this stuff. So he actually left the UFC and the Cesar Gracie promotion never got off the ground. The Gracie Fighting Championships, rather, never got off the ground. So he fought in Japan a little bit. He's fought in Elite XC, but also most notably Strikeforce. He has a 10-fight winning streak, has beaten guys that are not necessarily the best in the world, but, you know, he's done okay. And he's won every fight, some exciting fights. He's a great fighter inside the cage. He has, apparently he's been diagnosed or has said before he's had attention deficit disorder. He's got social anxiety, has some issues, but you have this opportunity to be in the biggest stage. And this is what you wanted. He wants this fight, and say that the UFC doesn't want him to win or the UFC or, you know, they're trying to hold him back. I mean, you know, in one,
like he's blaming them. Well, everything that's happened.
One of the lines he used in that video is, sorry I didn't show up to the beauty pageant. And listen, all right. So part of sports promotion, no matter if it's baseball, football, hockey, golf, highlight, you know what I mean? It part of it is that you're putting on an event, you have to answer questions, you have to act like you care. And that's what we're not getting in that. It's not good enough to have a 10-fight win streak unless you're Mike Tyson, right? And even then, you have to show up and you have to act like you care. You can win 20 fights in a row, but unless you actually go there, care, and like, this is what I'm about. As Dana said, he could just sit here and not answer any questions or, you know, do whatever, but make the effort to be there. It's promoting. And this, you know, one of the things I wrote in that column was that, you know, I can't believe we're sitting here at this point where this guy is getting a championship opportunity. He's won championships. He's getting an opportunity to headline a pay-per-view. for the world's largest MMA or fight organization in general. And we have to wonder if he's going to show up Wednesday. And he didn't. I just, it's baffling.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so strange. And
you only get so many chances with Dana White, and you know, to miss the Toronto, media,
yeah.
press conference.
Yeah.
And then to be guaranteed by Cesar Gracie that, oh yeah, he will be there. He will be there. And then you don't show up.
Apparently he was at Gracie's, Diaz was at Gracie's house. And
really?
Yeah. So
when they got the call and he says, I don't know where.
So he was at Gracie's house and apparently Diaz left out the back door and Gracie's like, where'd you go? And it was trying to track him down. Couldn't find him. And Cesar Gracie has been obviously he represents Diaz. He was a friend of his. And obviously there's a very, intimate, close friendship relationship there, business wise and friendship wise. And even Gracie's like, this is disappointing. There's no one trying to gloss this over, this opportunity. So where it goes from here, we'll see. So on the flip side of this now is you have a guy in Carlos Condit who, he's not backing into this shot. And I think that's probably the big point I can make is that he's been on a great run, knocking out Dan Hardy, beating Dong Young Kim, and doing so convincingly. You go back in the archives and listen to the show, he's on a great streak right now. And he got beat by Rory McDonald, kind of a last second victory. Do you have his numbers up right there?
Yes, I do. Yeah. He's won his last four fights. You mentioned, beat Rory McDonald, Dan Hardy, Dong Young Kim, Jake Ellenberger's last four, lost to Martin Kampmann in a split decision.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. That was back in 2009.
But, 170 pounds, he's right
but
there.
But since that's his only loss since June of 2006 was right. His previous loss before that. So he's put together, with the exception of that one loss to Cam, and some very impressive wins.
Former WBC champion. He's legit. And now
has two straight knockouts of the night and a fight of the night before that.
Yeah. So the main truth. So Diaz, now is a question of, Diaz versus Condit, who would sell more pay-per-views. Diaz has that, for anyone that's seen him and is familiar with him, he has kind of a charisma about him that you either love him or you hate him. It's cliche, but you really do. And this just adds to that mystique. So with Condit, and this will be a fight we'll talk about as it gets closer and kind of see, but GSP is obviously ready for it. Condit provides a whole host of issues. Interesting that both guys train with Greg Jackson. Greg Jackson's actually not going to train either guy for this fight, so he's staying completely neutral. And it's not like a Rashad Evans, John Jones thing, but again, there's a business relationship there between GSP and Jackson where he does some training with him and usually corners him, but there's going to be none of that for this fight. So this is going to be really fun. Not as fun, I guess, as GSP Diaz, just because I think Diaz again has that kind of that I wouldn't say that street fighter attitude, but very like in your face and there he has a presence. Whereas Condit's a little bit different. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. So the other twist with this, which is kind of like not breaking now, but people are talking about. So Carlos Condit was supposed to fight BJ Penn. BJ Penn is now without a fight, or we thought he was without a fight. Today he tweeted that Dana White has presented him an opportunity that he can't refuse. He said he looks like he will be fighting again the 29th. So as of we're recording this, nothing yet. And I keep refreshing Twitter to see if it's announced. I tweeted at BJ saying we're on the air. So if he wants to come on and actually break the news, which would be awesome. So there's a few different people that he could fight. Gilbert Melendez has been talked about at potentially 155 pounds. Again, he's a Strikeforce lightweight champion. That would essentially kill Strikeforce dead for me. If they're lightweight champion, then was to go over, I still would like to see that fight, but what have you. There was John Fitch talked about, but apparently John Fitch is not going to be ready for the 29th. And so BJ, basically, if you look at his Twitter, told him to, expletive, shut up, because he's sick about hearing about him. But what fight could be one that he couldn't refuse? And there's a lot of people that think it could be Nick Diaz. And that Diaz would get an opportunity to fight BJ Penn on the undercard of the event he was originally supposed to headline.
That's a little.
What do you think about
little
that?
Jab at Nick Diaz? Yeah, to drop him down. Now they'd be the co-headliners still.
Yes, because Penn Condit was supposed to be a conduit.
I called him Carlos Conduit.
Carlos Conduit. He transfers wires and. But what would you think that if you're Nick Diaz? What do you think about that?
I think Nick Diaz. I don't think would care. I think he'll go out and still try to win, but it would give BJ Penn a little chance to shut Diaz up a little bit, and you know, to make him drop him down. Oh man, I don't want to say it's a quite a slap in the face, but just if you're the way he acted and the way he presented himself, I can't fault Dana White for doing it.
So, but here's the thing, right? Any co-main event, they have to promote just as much as everyone else does. I mean, is it going to be just BJ Penn showing up and Diaz promoting by not being there still? I mean,
right.
What
happens if he doesn't show up to, you know, at the more press conferences or press conferences closer to the fight? I assume he would. Like, I really think that he wouldn't, but at the same time, would I bet money on it? No.
But what messages to send other people about? I mean,
it's setting you back. He took away his title shot.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest message. You know, no one's above it.
God, what a bizarre, bizarre, bizarre. That's the best way to describe it. So as of now, we'll look at the break and see if there's any update. See if BJ Penn's going to call in. I doubt it. But the offer is certainly out there. So that was just one subject. We have so much more to talk about. We're going to head to our first break. Coming up next, we will talk about the biggest draw in the UFC and his next opportunity and how you can celebrate by watching it. This is the MMA Show, New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WJAM, The Game. WJAM MMA Show is back with Rejoiner Music. We're rejoining you, Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt, talking everything in the world of mixed martial arts. No guest tonight. Everyone hates us. It's Labor Day. Everyone's got the week.
Very sad.
Very sad.
We had a nice stretch run, though, with guests every week. So,
yeah,
quite impressive.
The streak is broken. And we probably, you know what? We could have got one if I had really tried.
you kind of took Labor Day week off as well.
I had two guests in mind. And both those were one with Bellator and one with Strikeforce, who will, just for whatever reason, didn't fall through. And then another guy who actually works with Strikeforce, he fell through. So no worries. We have plenty to talk about. First segment, we talked all about Nick Diaz. And actually, PJ, you know, we're going to go off format a bit. Anyone you want to give a shout-out to?
A shout-out to?
Yeah, anyone you want to give a shout-out to?
Not particularly. Had you not put me on the spot, I would have been, all right, let me think of somebody. I could give a shout out to someone. Why? Do you have someone in mind for yourself?
A loyal listener.
Okay.
He is sitting at his desk listening to this right now, and his name is Ryan O'Hara. He has been a faithful fan of the show ever since the start. He always gets feedback on the show and want to thank him a lot for listening. And
thank you, Ryan. Can we give him a prize? So we forgot to mention this last week. You, a couple weeks ago, had gone to a press screening of the new movie Warrior.
Yep.
And you had signed up to receive some promotional items from the movie.
Yep.
And what they did was send us a box of about 100 4-foot posters of the movie.
Yep.
About 100 2-foot posters of the movie. And a bunch of t-shirts, which are very nice t-shirts. Unfortunately, 3 sizes fit all, as long as your size are medium, small, and double extra large. No large, no medium, they sent us.
Absolutely. So, Ryan, for being such a loyal guest, I will bring in a shirt for you, and because actually you work.
Bring him a couple posters, too.
Yes, I will.
Get him out of my office.
You know what? There's actually a few fans in our office that will wear these. So we want to thank, obviously, the people from Warrior. That movie comes out, actually, this weekend. Go listen to a review from 2 weeks ago. Great movie. I if you're not an MFA fan, or if your girlfriend's not, or your boyfriend, whatever was there, you should definitely go see this movie. I guarantee you'll like it. So thank you, Ryan. And if you're interested in winning a shirt and you live in the greater Nashua area, you want to stop down here, post on our Facebook wall, say you like us, and then we'll figure it. PJ will help you figure it out. He's at the station all the time. I am not, even though I tried to live here once. Okay. So we are way off. How's your draft going?
Probably not as good as I would have liked. I'm kind of like half. Like, I'm looking at you and talking to you, and then I just look over to the screen and I'm like, how's it going? I'm on the clock right now.
Mm. Who, who do you think you're going to take?
I have no idea. I guess another backup running back.
How about
Mike Thomas from Jacksonville's there, but I have Mercedes Lewis from Jacksonville's a tight end. Turning into fantasy football talk. This is completely boring to anybody who's listening right now. I'm gonna
make a segue here.
All right,
a segue to a person that tried to play professional football and failed. However, he is very rich. He is very much a superstar, and he very much has a fight coming up on Friday, December 30th. He will headline a UFC event in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're talking about the former UFC heavyweight champion of the world and former tryout or camp member of the Minnesota Vikings, the one and only Brock Lesnar, will return to action for the first time in, since losing his gold to Cain Velasquez. He will compete against the current and now former Strikeforce heavyweight champion of the world, Alistair Overeem, who has signed a deal. He is now in the UFC.
Which is strange because he was released by Strikeforce.
Yes.
And then signed again.
Yes, we had talked about that.
To the UFC.
A few weeks ago, the whole Golden Glory thing. His camp apparently supposedly had a deal where you had to pay the camp and they paid the fighters. And that's not the way the UFC does business. So they released all the Golden Glory fighters, Overeem being one of them. And so Overeem get the best end of the deal. Now he's with the UFC now. So let's just fold Strikeforce, can we? So Strikeforce heavyweight champion Alistair Overeem gets his shot at the big time. This is his, he's fought all over the world, fought in front of huge crowds before. This is his first chance in the world's largest mixed martial arts organization against a guy who is the biggest draw in the sport. Lesnar, Overeem, Friday, December 30th, New Year's Eve weekend. PJ, what do you think about this?
I think it's a good fight. I think it'll be a good test for Overeem to face someone that has the ability and the size that Brock Lesnar has that I think then match up very well against him. It'll be a good fight, I think, for Brock Lesnar. His first fight in, let's see, when was his last fight before diverticulitis hit him again?
This was the, you didn't even listen to what I see. It's proof that you're paying too much attention.
I am not paying enough attention to the show. I apologize. It's a 1 week thing. I will not have to any more fantasy football drafts until next season. So
thank goodness. The loss was against Cain Velasquez.
Right.
He lost the heavyweight. That was his last fight.
Yeah, but when?
That was back in, scroll, bring it up. That was back in October 2010, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So it'll be well over a year, be 14 months.
I think it's a good matchup. I'm probably going to end up taking Brock in that fight. But I think it's a good matchup, I think, for both fighters.
So what's interesting is as much as Brock has talked about, he has only fought professionally 7 times. And he has talked about as much, if not more, than everyone else in the sport.
And draws more than most anybody else in the sport.
Yeah, he is right up there. He is he's by far the biggest draw in the sport. GSP is too, and then somewhat Anderson Silva after that. But we'll stick with Lesnar. So this is Lesnar's kind of looking at his career. He's been in the UFC for all but one fight, and he started out with losing to Frank Mir, 1-1 record, and then he won a 4-fight win streak, beating Heath Herring. Beating Randy Couture, beating Frank Mir, beating Shea Carwin, and losing to Cain Velasquez. So his record is at 5-2, a former UFC heavyweight champion. And again, he is coming off the diverticulitis, so he's been out for a while. He is 34 years old. So the wrestling background will come into play here, because Overeem does not have a wrestling background. However, he is he's very good when it goes to the ground, as I've been told. We don't get to see it that much simply because Alistair Overeem is mainly a stand-up fighter. He's a former K-1 kickboxing champion. He's a former, obviously, a Strikeforce heavyweight champion, although I think he defended that belt once. And he is, I was telling a friend at work, it's like the Thing versus the Incredible Hulk in real life. They both are massive men. If you haven't seen pictures of Alistair Overeem, go Google them right now. He is a massive cartoon character-looking guy and a guy that has not lost in a long time as well.
Yeah, has not lost since 2007, September the 17th, against Sergei Karatanov.
Sergei Karatanov, coincidentally, is fighting this Saturday night. But if you look at the experience factor, so 35-11 with one no contest for Overeem. He fights frequently. That's just in MMA. So he is a frequent combat sports competitor. He's, again, fought in kickboxing before. Tez, what does he got? 10 wins?
Yeah, wins, 10 and 4 down. In his kickboxing
so
record.
To me, what this comes down to, how old is Alistair Overeem? He's 31.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit younger. So with
God, this, man, you think some of these guys are a little older, and he's younger than we are.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Very much so. Very much so. So the interesting thing with, so you're kind of comparing these two. I look at level of competition. Something that Dana has always said about Brock, especially when comparing him to guys like Fedor and other heavyweights, is that the who he's fought, again, the Couturs, the Velasquez, the Herrings, the Frank Mirs, he's fighting top competition every single time out. There's no easy fights. With Overeem, so I'm looking over some of these. You know, Fabricio Werdum, he didn't look particularly great in that fight, one decision.
Yeah, it was rather boring.
Yeah,
nothing
it was.
Too exciting going on there.
It was. Todd Duffy, he won at a Japanese event called Dynamite 2010. First round, okay, that was over in 20 seconds. Todd Duffy used to be in the UFC, not there for a reason. Brett Rogers, he beat before that. Brett Rogers pushed way too soon. Basically, had a good look and a name. Strikeforce didn't have anyone, and he destroyed him. Fujita, before that, James Thompson. James Thompson, famous for getting his ear exploded on national TV, thanks to Kimbo Slice.
Oh, so, how gross. Oh, I think I tried to push that out of my mind, that fight.
Yeah, well, it's back in there now.
Yeah, because I was with a whole bunch of friends, with my wife and my buddy's wife, and they're not really big MMA fans, but they knew who Kimbo Slice was, obviously, because of the internet videos and the backyard fighting and stuff like that. So everybody gathers around to watch that, and that's their first, I think it was my wife's first MMA fight she had ever seen, was that fight. And that's the question. As soon as he's walking to the ring, what's wrong with his ear?
Lucky her.
Wow, he's got cauliflower ear. It happens to a lot of fighters and grapplers and wrestlers, and that happens. But yeah, it looks really, really bad. And then, I'm getting shivers just thinking about it. Just like half hanging off.
You're squeamish. Ugh. Come on, PJ. Talking about combat sports here. Blood.
Right.
Sport of men.
Blood I can handle. Broken bones I can handle. Just for some reason, the cauliflower ear just half hanging off his head was...
Gotcha.
That gets to me.
Interesting.
It's something I never had cauliflower ear. I wrestled when I was in high school. That's about the closest I got to combat sports.
You wrestled in high school?
I wrestled for 2 years in high school.
How'd
yes.
you do?
I think by the end of my second year wrestling, I was on the varsity team, but only because the kid ahead of me in weight class had hurt himself. Hmm. So I was not very good. I only wrestled for 2 years. Hmm. I didn't like some of these guys had been wrestling for a few years and had some experience on me. But actually, one of my biggest wins was not from my high school. I wrestled in a tournament. I wrestled for another high school because they were trying to fill out the tournament brackets.
Yeah.
So I was a JV. So to fill out some of the rest of the brackets, they're like, oh, we'll take JV kids and you can wrestle for this. So I went to Manchester Memorial High School, Manchester, New Hampshire. So for that tournament, I wrestled for Trinity High School.
You switched teams.
I switched teams.
Wow.
And I won. The kid was trying to get me in a cradle. I rolled on top of him. His shoulders hit the mat. He got pinned. And I finished ahead of the kid who was in my weight class for our school.
Wow.
In the tournament.
Did you wear your glasses?
I didn't. No, that would be tough to do, wear my glasses while I was wrestling.
These are the questions I ask.
So
you're my guest I'm interviewing tonight. This is good. So we did have an interview segment. So I've heard you might be competing in an upcoming... forget it.
Yeah, okay. It's lies and slander if you hear me competing at all.
No, okay. So we were talking.
Though I did wrestle with a kid, and we talked about, I don't know if we've talked about it, it may have been early in one of the first few shows. I wrestled with a kid who is now a professional MMA fighter, a guy by the name of Tyson Chartier.
Yes, you
who was a 2010 Massachusetts Amateur Fighter of the Year, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Maybe.
From the Boston Herald award there. So, and he, I have to look up because you were supposed to have him on the show a while back when he was supposed to fight. His fight got postponed, so we pushed off the interview, and he's supposed to have another fight coming up. So maybe we should try to get him on the show sometime soon.
Tonight would have been a good night.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So we're talking about Brock Lesnar and Alistair Overeem, and then we're talking
we
about
digress,
PJ's
yes.
fight career and all that stuff, which is good. This is going to be an awesome fight. December 30th is going to be a nice big chunk of fights here in this last quarter for the UFC, right? Yeah, there's your GSP Diaz, which will still be good. It's not going to be as GSP Condit is not going to be as good as GSP Diaz. You have Rampage and John Jones coming up in a few weeks, which has kind of lost some buzz for whatever reason because of all these other events that are happening. You have the I'm just completely blanking. Oh, you have Maynard Edgar 2, Maynard Edgar 3, followed up on the undercard by Sonnen and Stan, which is going to be fun as well. That card is stacked. You have Lesnar and Overeem, and there's probably another one I'm forgetting. However, the biggest one is one of the biggest ones is a fight you're not going to have to pay anything for, Cheapskates.
Yep.
November 12th. By the way, one point I want to make about the New Year's card before I forget. So the event is on a Friday night, not a Saturday, because they don't want to go on Saturday night for New Year's Eve.
Makes sense.
For some it does, for some it doesn't. So New Year's Eve cards in the past have been a, there's a tradition there with New Year's Eve cards, especially in Japan. So kind of this concept of like, would people that would going to get together, would they want to see a fight and make it part of the event? Would that drive more sales, more buys, what have you? Or is it just you want to stay away from that? So it's kind of like this weird mix and whatever. So regardless, Saturday, November 12th, Fox, we have our first main event announced, and it is UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos, moving from the pay-per-view a week later up to November 12th, a heavyweight championship title fight on free TV, PJ. What do you say about it?
It's going to be a very, very good fight. I think Junior Dos Santos might not, I don't think he's going to take the fight, but he's going to be match up very well against Cain Velasquez, I think. And it's going to be a very good, I think, first free TV event for the UFC on Fox. Mm. And you mentioned right before we went on the air today, you mentioned to me, I hadn't heard yet. We had speculated about what that second fight would be. Mm. And I think we guessed right for what that second fight was going to be.
And what is it?
That's going to be Ben Henderson versus Clay Guida.
Yes.
I can't wait. That's going to be a fantastic, fantastic first UFC on Fox.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. So also I wrote a column about this before this, and I'm like, they should move the heavyweight title fight on the Fox event because people understand heavyweights, they understand titles. They get that. The casual fan understands that. People are like, no, you can't do that. The pay-per-view, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, it's not going to matter because it's not going to draw a lot in pay-per-view anyway because your casual fans are not going to buy it, and it's not going to be like a mega thing because neither guy is over like that on pay-per-view. No.
Maybe the casual fan maybe knows Junior Dos Santos a little bit more because of The Ultimate Fighter, but maybe.
Maybe. I would say you're probably going to get 400,000 buys on pay-per-view. The average, I think, is 225 or something like that. So, again, is it more important to get those eyes in that first show on Fox? Of course it is. So what happens? They did exactly what I thought they should, and they moved that up. Perfect. So they are not guaranteeing that Guida Henderson is going to be on TV. However, that would assume to be basically right now the show is just the heavyweight title fight because it could go 25 minutes. So my expectation is that it's not going to go 25 minutes and you're going to see that fight anyway. The question is, where are you going to see the rest of this undercard? Is it going to be a Spike deal? Is it going to be a versus? You know what I mean? It's like, or is it going to be an FX type of thing? I don't think it can be because of the deal with Spike. So it's going to be interesting to see where you can see the rest of that card. But overall, that's if you get both the heavyweight title fight and Guida Henderson on TV, that's a big win for your first show out. And that would, Dana wants to break that all-time ratings record on TV, which was set by, I think it was set by Kimbo Slice and James Thompson, which he's talking about. I think it was 5.2 million viewers for that fight. So I think this is going to be a pretty big chance with UFC already, or Fox already is promoting that. If you saw the Red Sox game this weekend, Red Sox Rangers on Fox are already advertising it. It's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, and it's going to obviously draw in the UFC's base, which I believe would cover, I think, that number with just, casual viewers, guys who aren't necessarily going to buy a pay-per-view every time out, but follow the sport and follow the UFC, and who may not have followed was Elite XC, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it's that the only reason you watched, they got that many, was because of Kimbo Slice, but why? It's the people who saw him on the internet.
Yeah.
They knew absolutely, I would say, a solid 5 million out of the 5.2 million knew not a single other fighter on that card besides Kimbo Slice.
Absolutely. I completely agree. The interesting thing about this will be how the mainstream media picks this up. Again, this is a big event. Fox is putting a lot into it, and obviously they have with already promoting a baseball, I expect they're going to promote the hell out of it on their NFL broadcast. They're going to do a preview show, I think. Is it October 30th? After one of the Fox Sunday shows, when they go to usually some dumb movie or something like that, they're actually going to have an hour-long, I think it's a preview show, essentially, kind of like an education of what the UFC is and kind of previewing this event. So they're putting some money into this, and that's good, because the more people that see this, I'm sitting there, it was at the gas station getting some gas.
Coincidentally enough.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I was just hanging out at the gas station, flipping a quarter. I was just thinking to myself, you know, all the stuff we're going to talk about, I'm like, I wish other people were like excited. I wish my other friends were excited about this stuff as much as I am. You know, it just, we get how big the fact that a Diaz dropping off this card and what Carlos Condit's opportunity is and how big this is and Brock Lesnar and Alistair Overeem and Overeem's first chance. You know, we get this. And it's so fascinating to me, right? And fascinating to our world. I hope that this deal kind of starts bringing some of these other people in. Because I'd like to be able to talk about fight stuff with other friends other than just, you know, Red Sox, Patriots stuff and all that. You know what I mean? It'd be kind of cool. It's so interesting. There's so many personalities. I think we're close to getting that. But, you know, I don't know. I just hope they do. Because there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Like your fantasy draft.
Yes. Well, it's time to break anyway. So.
You just gave me the timeout.
Yeah. Oh. We got to take a time. We've gone a little long, so I'm going to take a break.
Oh, good. Well, I'm long in the tooth. So, final segment coming up. We still have much more to talk about. UFC in Japan, another big heavyweight fight that got made that no one's really talking about for whatever reason. And there's two events this weekend. This is the MMA Show, New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM. The game. Final segment, WGAM MMA Show. You're just joining us now. You are probably up late if you're listening to on the radio. If you're listening to us online, thank you very much. However, you can hear the rest of the show you've missed. You can also hear other shows. But PJ, I always forget. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, you can go to WGAMthegame.com. You search under shows for the WGAM MMA Show. As you mentioned, we podcast everything we do. The first 17 shows have guests. This one does not, but...
It's our 18th show.
This is our 18th show.
Wow, number 20 coming up. We're going to get a big one for that.
I would assume so. You can also check us out on Twitter at WGAM_MMA. Also on Facebook. And, of course, check out the blog, WGAMMMA.com.
And shame on you if you're joining us now. You've missed a great show. Okay. So we've talked all kinds of UFC news. If you were in a... Like, if you're on vacation, you disconnected from everything... This would be the perfect show to catch up on. The vacation return show. How about that? Or something like that. Wow, it is rainy out. Okay, I am not with it. All right. So during the break, I was hitting up the Twitter, checking out some things. And I forgot that Matt Hughes versus Josh Koscheck is now the co-main event of UFC 135 coming up. Diego Sanchez had to pull out of that fight with Hughes due to an injury. So Josh Koscheck returns for the first time since getting his eye busted up by GSP, coincidentally, fighting against Matt Hughes. So interesting fight, very short notice, and I don't know, kind of looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Josh Koscheck comes back. You know, he certainly seemed to be humbled after George St. Pierre jabbed a new head on the side of his already big inflated ego head.
Wow.
Of Josh Koscheck. I don't like him very much.
Huh.
He's a good fighter, but I don't like. I don't know him personally, obviously. But
I guess he'll not be on our 20th show then.
No, I would. If
that's too bad.
If he's not on our show at all, I don't think I'd be too upset.
Wow. All right. Jeez.
He seems like a very unlikable person. I'm sure he's very nice.
He plays
to his friends and family, but he just comes off as a jerk. And I like the guys like more like GSP who are more respectful than a guy like Josh Koscheck is. His persona, per se.
Yes, Koscheck knows how to play the game, and he's making some good money doing it. So
at least he showed up for his media press conferences.
There is no doubt.
Unlike Nick Diaz.
No doubt. Okay. So actually, real quick, another quick bit of news. Rich Franklin versus Tito Ortiz was rumored for that UFC and Fox show. Tatame, which is a Brazilian news source, actually broke this today that it was going to happen. However, MMA Junkie stepped up and said, well, no, it's not going to happen. Rich Franklin is having surgery on Tuesday, minor shoulder surgery. He suffered the injury 10 days ago. So he's going to be out and is not going to be back till probably January or February at the earliest. So no Rich Franklin for the end of the year. That bums me out because Rich Franklin's my favorite fighter. So
is he really?
He is.
Oh.
People ask me all the time, who's your favorite fighter? For years, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I always come back to Rich Franklin. For some reason, I always liked him when I first started learning about the sport in 2005. I don't know. Just something about it. I just really like Rich Franklin. So Rich Franklin is not going to be fighting the rest of the year. So if Tito Ortiz does fight again, that fight makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. Ortiz and Franklin,
They're both old.
They're both old, similar stages of their careers, even though Frank,
that's a better way to put it. Yeah.
Is as far as like the future and things like that go. So I guess we'll have to see. So that makes a lot of sense, but probably not for right now. Okay. So other stuff going on, a heavyweight fight that completely got overrun, news is that, Big Nog, Antonio, Rodrigo Nogueira. I always get the two mixed up. I'm not looking on online. Big Nog Nogueira, yes, coming up.
Who just fought.
Big win, yes, over Brendan Schaub at UFC 134 in Brazil. We didn't really get a chance to talk about much last week. He has his next fight set in Toronto against Frank Mir.
Interesting.
So Big Nog versus Frank Mir. I'm going to pull up the stat particulars on this. And two veterans going at it. Two very big guys. And except for UFC 140, let me just pull up the notes here because I wanted to actually talk about this. So two veterans going at it, not really, I guess, in the upper echelon heavyweight mix, but two names. What do you think?
Yeah, two bigger names. Either one of these guys who wins, I don't think, is really set themselves up for a title shot. They're probably each a few fights away, and you said similar stages of their career, kind of like, I guess, like Tito Ortiz and Rich Franklin. I don't think we gave Nogueira, either one of us gave him really a shot to beat Brendan Schaub. We thought Schaub was the up-and-comer and that he would handle him quite easily, and it went the exact opposite way. Frank Mir is one of those guys, too. Then he can put together a couple impressive wins, and then he can look kind of really bad and look like he's starting to get a little bit older. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out on that one and to see where their careers go from there. What fight will, like, I always like to look two steps ahead. Like, if they win, what's next for them? So
it's Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. Rogério, yes, is the younger brother.
Little Nog,
correct. So Frank Mir's last fight, he last beat Roy Nelson. That was a bad fight. That was at UFC 130. I was back this past May. So that was a boring decision, the one that we thought was going to be really fun and turned out to be just boring. The build was boring. Before that, it was a boring fight against
Mirko Krokop. Both guys fight at the same gym. They're like, yeah, we had to split time there. I really like him. You know, we hang out. And that was probably... You'd think Roy Nelson's last, you know, really big fat guy fight. They kind of came out afterwards and said that, you know, they kind of hinted they'd like him to lose a little bit of weight and be in a little bit better conditioning.
There is some backstory to this. Back in UFC 92, back in December 2008, Frank Mir actually beat Nogueira by TKO in the second round to win the UFC Interim Heavyweight Championship, which then he would go on to lose against Brock Lesnar. Nogueira had said he had a staph infection in that fight. Has been in the hospital. Not very healthy going into that fight, at least what he claims. So I'm sure you'll hear a lot about that. That's probably the biggest fight right now on that UFC 140 card, according to what's been kind of announced so far. So I'd expect that to be third from the top or possibly second, but I'm guessing it's going to be one of those three fight cards as UFC goes back to Toronto in December, so December 10th. So that is going to be a fun fight to talk about. What else, real quick, hit stuff before getting a quick preview? UFC returning to Japan for the first time in a long, long time. Going back in February, looks like this is going to replace their once planned trip to Australia. So UFC going back to Japan, there was problems going back there forever. There was obviously competition. UFC and Japan had a lot of history. Ruzuka in Japan did, because obviously Pride Fighting Championships were there, which was a major organization back in the day. A lot more brutal than today's UFC. Soccer kicks and head stomps and just a lot.
The rules were a little bit looser there. And of course, not the octagon. It was in like a boxing ring.
Yeah, a very big ring. You can obviously...
But I mean, some of those fights, you go back and like some of those... Rampage Jackson, yep, and Wanderlei Silva fights, yep, are just unbelievably very, very brutal fights.
Yeah, and they're great to watch. And yep, sometimes we'll air Best of Pride on Spike, and that will be moving to FX, I believe, or Fuel Network. But yeah, you talk about anyone. I mean, Dan Henderson fought in Pride. The Nogueira brothers fought in Pride. Anderson Silva fought in Pride. So you talk about Wanderlei Silva. So Rampage Jackson, again, those fights. Mauricio Shogun Hua fought in, yep, there's so many guys that fought over there and made big time names themselves. Don Fry,
mustache.
Don Fry versus Takayama. That is one of the most incredible stand up back and forth slobber knocker slugfest you will ever see. Go find it on YouTube and watch it. It is incredible. That happened in Pride. Fedor fought in Pride. So again, Japan was big. The MMA market there is softened to an extent I can't even get across on air. It's an awful market right now. So UFC is going back there and see if they can garner some attention. And their Japanese stable is not exactly strong, I would say. And again, you'll get guys like Akiyama, who's lost three in a row. People like Kid Yamamoto, who came over and he's lost some fights in a row and hasn't looked good. Is supposedly one of the biggest 145, one of the best 145 pounders in the world, has not showed that here. So yeah, I guess we'll kind of see what the story is there, but it's kind of big. They went back to Brazil, now they're going back to Japan.
Yep. Quickly, Josh, we got a couple events coming up, but we're running out of time real quick, so let's get that.
The event's coming up Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, good. I didn't know if we were doing
it. No.
Good. You're booking me all over the place. So on Saturday, two big events if you're hanging out in front of the TV. One is on Free TV, MTV2, Bellator Fighting Championships returns for their fifth season. Their welterweight tournament kicks off with 470-pound fights headlined by Ben Saunders, former UFC fighter. He fought earlier this year, made his Bellator debut, and he won rather convincingly in April. That was at Mohegan Sun. And so we'll see what he does in his welterweight tournament debut. Strikeforce, big, big event. We didn't give it really any talk tonight. semifinals of the heavyweight Grand Prix tournament. Josh Barnett taking on Sergey Kharitonov. Daniel Cormier getting his shot, filling in for Alistair Overeem against Antonio Bigfoot Silva. King Mo versus Hodja Gracie. Going to be a great event. That's going to be on Showtime at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Saturday. That's all from memory, PJ.
Very nice.
How's that? So we had a fun show. PJ and I talking. We learned about wrestling career, fantasy football.
I got my fantasy. My team is all set. We're good to go.
The fantasy fight of GSP versus Nick Diaz is off. You heard all about that. Yeah, all kinds of stuff going on. Exhausting week. Lots of great stuff and more stuff going on. So obviously,
we will have a guest next week.
Yes, guarantee we'll have at least one guest next week. So for yours truly, Josh Nason, for PJ Hewitt, I want to thank you for joining another episode of the WGAM MMA show. And remember, until next week, keep your chin down and your hands up. Good night.